welcome to Influential Visions. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. My name is Nathaniel Schooler, and I am your host today. I keep laughing at that. Zoom just brought in this thing. If you don't use Zoom, yeah, everyone who's listening, like, they brought in this thing and it's got this American woman. This meeting is being recorded. And it's just
just total enthusiasm in that too. That's the thing that makes this hilarious. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to let Eric know about that.
Whatever mood you're in, right, it just sets you up for a happy conversation, yeah. But I'm joined today by Ray Wong, and he is the founder of Constellation Research. And yeah, we kind of overlap in a few areas at tech events and things like that. And we've kind of met in person when we were at Oracle Open World. And it's really lovely to see you online for once, because you're always so busy. You're kind of all over the world, right?
I am grounded. I'm totally grounded. I'm not going anywhere. I snuck out as all these cities were shutting down. Like, I was out of Chicago, out of New York, Las Vegas. Now I'm stuck in San Francisco, where we have the shelter in place thing, which is kind of interesting. So we'll see how that works. But I mean, sneaking to the TV studio only when needed. So.
Yeah, my sister lives quite close to you. She lives out near San Francisco. She's over at Intel. She does some programming.
I'm down that way.
Yeah, yes, she does some programming down there. Yeah, it's nice, man. You know, if you can see the back of Stanford from the backyard, you know you kind of made it, right?
Oh, wow. Okay. She's done well.
Yeah, her husband works over at Google. I think he manages like the data centers and stuff globally. So yeah, you know, they're pretty big techies. Yeah, like, I just don't speak the tech language. I'm kind of just, you know, I understand enough to have a conversation, but I just keep it, you know, a little bit real, really.
You know, one of the interesting things about the Valley is a lot of folks actually didn't grow up with technology, but they happened to be here when the boom occurred, right? And so you'll see people that are VPs of something that, you know, real estate or purchasing or things that just came along the way as the business grew. And it's a very interesting thing. And as a result, like, you see that some of the colleges are awesome feeders into some of these tech companies. So you don't have to go to like a great brand name elite school to get into the tech industry. You just actually work in the Valley and by going to colleges like Santa Clara University or San Jose State University or some of the local universities, and boom, suddenly you're in the tech business.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lovely area. I mean, I found people to be very, very friendly. And, you know, went to a really cool bar, you know, did the Alcatraz thing and, you know, like all the stuff, right? All the touristy things,
okay.
Like the Redwood.
The Alcatraz thing is amazing. The headsets, honestly. Oh yeah. My God. If you haven't done it, I mean, that thing, that's what stereo is supposed to do.
It's serious stuff, right? But then what are they going to do? Like, I mean, that's what the purpose of this conversation is. We're talking the future of work today, right? So, what is going to happen? I mean, you know, right now we're working from home in isolation, right? Like, that's, you know, like, I've got my green screen.
That is the Alcatraz.
It is. I even have a hat, right? I got a hat. Look, I got the hat, right? Wait, I've even got some sunglasses, yeah? But I'm not going to get them out. It's not bright enough. But like, what are we going to do, buddy?
It's crazy. Look, we've been worked from home since the beginning at Constellation. Like, everyone's worked from home. We've had like some small offices in some location nobody ever showed up to, right? So, and analysts are traveling all the time, mm-hmm. right? Our sales folks work from home, or they travel when they need to. We get everyone together two or three times a year at our events, get the team together. We do a retreat. That's kind of been the work from home model. So our folks, it's not bad. But for me, I'm on the road like 220, 240 days out of the year. And this is day two of me being in the home with my entire family, right? The kids are doing online courses, right? Because like the schools are now on Zoom rooms, right? You know, my wife is a physician. She's doing telemedicine. She's busier than ever, right?
Wow.
And so I'm relegated not into this office. Like, in about an hour, I'm going to be kicked out. I'm going to be in the kitchen. I am the least important person here. And it's weird. Like, I'm used to working in hotel lobbies. I can work in airports. I'll sit on the ground of a floor. I mean, like, it's fine. In my own house, it is probably the most frustrating thing. I'm sitting next to the kitchen. Like, I'm forgetting to drink. I'm forgetting to get water. I'm forgetting to, like, you know, and I'm eating a lot. I know I'm eating a lot because I'm not moving, right? So the shelter in place restrictions that we have, I'm just like, okay, like everyone's going to gain 10 pounds and everyone's going to be like doing delivery of alcohol showing up to your house. I mean, it's just crazy.
I was just thinking I need to get some beers for tomorrow night, right?
You could. If you're pint delivered, I mean, you'll be good.
Well, I think if you can imagine. So let's look at where we're at right now compared to 10 years ago when we had this major problem. 12 years ago, yeah, we had a major issue, right, with the economy globally, yeah? And for me, I was in the drinks industry back then. Everything went totally wrong, yeah? But imagine being in the drinks industry now and actually selling to pubs. Imagine having a brewery, a small brewery, or even a big one, and selling direct to pubs, yeah? What are you going to do, yeah? Like, I mean, you know, I'm equipped now. I can work from home. I've got a screen. I've got a mic. I've got, you know, everything I need, yeah? But, like, my heart goes out to the people who don't have the skills, and that's the biggest problem that we've got right now.
We're going to have that, yeah. But a couple of things, right? I mean, people have virtual happy hours. Like at 5 p.m., people have drinks delivered and they're drinking together in a Zoom room. I've seen that. It's kind of funny. I mean, you can do that. Direct to consumer is going to be big for the brewery, right?
Then like more profit.
However, in each, the regulations actually here, we have a three-tier distribution model, which doesn't allow you to do direct to consumer. You might be able to do that, but the pubs might be able to do delivery, right? You get the Postmates, Uber Eats, Grubhub, if someone go out and deliver for that. So I think there's some things that are going to be worked around. That might help. It's not going to be the same for a little bit, but unlike 2008 was a real financial crisis.
Yeah.
This is a public health crisis that we've manufactured into a financial crisis out of pure fear, right?
Yes.
If every leader would have said, look, for 30 days, we're going to go camping and that's it. And I kind of agree with Ackman. I'm not a fan of Ackman, right? For what he's done to a lot of companies. He's taken a lot of good companies and stripped them. He's turned some companies that really needed some financial management, try to fix them. But the main point is, you know, you have an opportunity to everybody get it. We're all in it together. We'll do it this way. And you know, we'll all sweat it out. That's one option, right? And the economy goes on a standstill. Everybody knows exactly what's going to happen. There's a defined date. That would be very helpful in terms of traders who want certainty, right? Now, that's one way to do it, but we didn't do that. Every country's doing something. Like Taiwan's like, keep everyone away, but no one has immunity, right? Yeah. So UK is like, we're going to give it to everybody. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Well, the US is like, we're not even sure, right? I'm not sure you'll be fine. We're not sure either, right? But nobody knows, right? And so that's like causing a tanking of the economy, right? Now, in the history of the world, it's very, very rare that we know 1% of the world is going to pass out. Like it's like even in the US, we have 330 million people. Let's assume 40 million people get the disease.
Yeah.
And 400,000 people might need to go to the hospital and 40,000 people might not make it.
Yeah.
You'd say, oh my God, those numbers are horrible. 40,000. And you know, every life is precious. I mean, you should be careful. But we do that every year with the influenza. We do that every year. And we even have a vaccine and people are like, okay with the risk factors.
Yeah, yeah. Very true.
In this case, people are not okay with the risk factors and they've gone berserk. So we've taken out 1% of the population is taking out 99% of the total global output. It doesn't make any rational sense in a utilitarian argument. But in the public health argument, it's like we have to save every life. And I have a master's in public health. So I'm like, somewhere, where's this cost benefit analysis, right? I know we have to save every life, but at trillions of dollars of cost, social, economic, and political upheaval that's coming.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So that's the fear. But the work from home movement actually gets a kick. The connectivity got better in the last 12 years, right? People at least have devices they can work from. Even if I can't work from a laptop, any one of these will do, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that helps.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And the fact that hopefully, like, you know, the consumerization of technology means that even if you didn't have computer skills, you accessed the environment. So there is hope there, and we're going to see people adapt to it, right? Delivery companies are going to do great, right? Home delivery types of companies are going to be great, and we've gotten some benefits, right? The water in Venice is clear finally. Did you see that? That was like a headline. I was like, oh okay.
That's great. Right? That's true.
Petrol costs, your fuel costs are down, right? The carbon footprint is down, right? Yeah. Energy consumption is down. you know, little Saudis and Russians thought it'd be fun to have a little oil war, but okay, yeah, that too.
Well, so. I mean, that was a funny timing, but the thing is, if you look at it, the problem is I was reading something the other day, is that actually when that environmental, we get over this, you know, bubble right now that we're in, this slowdown, yeah, and we go back to where we were before, all the money that was being invested in green tech and actually reduction of pollutants and this and that is not available anymore because we've had a massive crisis, yeah. So what they've said is that actually people like Greta Thunberg and this and that are going to be even more upset, and because this is could have caused a bigger problem is basically what they're saying, the fallout when we get back, because there's no investment, right? So, or it is an excuse, isn't it, for no investment. But from where I'm sitting, yeah, I mean, I've worked from home 10 years, yeah. It's my environment.
Oh, you're
I mean,
a pro.
I don't look at the camera as much as you do because you do a lot more media on video than me. I'm just trying to get used to looking at this camera, and it's really, really super weird. And that's my thing. Someone needs to make a TV screen, yeah, with a camera right in the middle of it. And you look at who you're talking to, but you've got the camera. And you can look at the, you know, hello, Ray. But like, I think that we have the potential to change the atmosphere completely now. We have the potential to, you know, develop a whole new load of business models. Certainly personal training from home is massive right now. I mean, I've been doing Tai Chi. I was saying to you, 25 years, I was thinking, hey, maybe I'll set up like an online Tai Chi thing, maybe in the morning, an hour a day. But you know, if people are interested, message me. I might think about it. Yeah.
I think that's hope. I mean, you're hitting one of the top issues there, Nathaniel. Yeah. It is isolation. People are worried about isolation. We are social animals. That's why live events work. We took out a $2 trillion global live events business, from concerts to sporting to conferences, right? All wiped out. Yeah. There's a reason that works. People do that. They buy, they spend, you know, they get excited, they get motivated, they connect with people. Like, hey, how are we a met? Right?
Exactly.
I mean, so it is gonna change. The people who were at Davos, when they were worried about stakeholder capitalism and, you know, climate change, totally missed the whole coronavirus issue. I mean, it was there, right? They were focused on that instead of what was a priority. We're starting to also understand what our priorities. What are you willing to give up? Public health is the number one priority, right? More than climate change. Not that climate change doesn't affect public health, right? Or stakeholder capitalism, but public health.
Right?
Okay, cool.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. You had a bit of a problem there with the connection. Not sure which side it was, but I mean, I think what you were saying is completely correct. I had a really good thing that came to mind there, and I totally forgotten what it was. It's awful when you hear this when it freezes. You just go, oh no, I can't think about anything now.
Well, what were you saying? That is a great point. We're talking public health is now the number one issue. They did such a great job that people didn't realize it, right? Like, oh yeah, pandemic, don't worry, these guys have it covered. We'll go do some crazy things and go to spring break in Florida. I mean, it's like, hello.
But I do have something. Yeah, I've remembered. What I heard was someone's come up with a blood test to actually like an AIDS test, an HIV test. They've actually developed a blood test. So if we can actually get everyone on the planet tested, then we're going to actually have a proper picture, right? And then you can crunch the numbers, and then we can actually move forwards. Because right now, I don't know if I had this, right? Like, I might have had it. I don't know. Like, I was sick in bed for 3 days. This was probably a month ago.
Maybe you're clear. Maybe you're clear.
Maybe, but I don't know, Ray. This is the problem. And not knowing how long it's going to last, who's been infected. We can't use big data AI modeling around this properly because we don't have the data, right?
Oh, we have awful data. So think about this. We only test people after we screen them to think that they followed a condition to see if they have coronavirus. Of course, you have all these cases. And of course, those old cases are bad, right? You already biased the data to go in there. Right. And that's that's one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah.
But hey, going back to the
countries, though, the countries are all different in their approaches. So we don't know. It's like, oh, well, here. Oh, well, if don't worry, if you're sick, you just stay indoors for a week and then you can come out, or 2 weeks, because whatever.
There's not enough tests around the world.
I know.
It's not just that.
So the blood test for the antibodies is what they were talking about in this MIT technology review that I was reading. I'm pretty sure that's where I saw it. But sorry, you carry on. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no. And the other piece that we're talking about, work from home, right? We notice bandwidth. Suddenly you're like, everybody's on at the same time. Yeah. Right. So if you're doing social distancing at home, you're better off going to work. There's no one there.
Yes. Well, that's exactly right.
Camp out there for bandwidth, because all the hubs have been, all the corporates have made sure that the bandwidth is there. And so people are fighting for bandwidth. Like we've got, where I am is near the Apple campus. You get a 1 gigabyte connection and 1 gig in, right? I'm sitting at probably at 300, 400 Mbps. I'm not complaining.
No.
Right. But you can feel the difference everywhere. Everyone's feeling that in terms of the bandwidth, in terms of even the mobile bandwidth in residential areas. Because normally you also have Wi-Fi to actually supplement what you're doing. So the antennas are getting hit pretty hard.
Yeah. Well, we're in a situation whereby, people don't know what posture to have. They don't have a gaming chair like you, and they don't have an understanding of how they should be sitting up straight, right? They don't understand.
Oh, this is temporary. I'm being kicked out, remember?
Well, of course, but you have an understanding though, right? Like when you get into the kitchen, you're going to sit up straight and you're going to work properly, yeah? But a lot of people, they're on their laptops, they're scrunched over like this.
You got to do Tai Chi. I think that's going to help people.
I think so. I think so. So,
And you got to remember, drink water. People forget to go get water because normally there's a water cooler, something you get up, you get a cup of coffee, you do something. Yeah. That is gone too. And you got to remember to get up and do that.
Yeah. And the morning exercise as well. Like, you're going to be depressed, right? You're stuck indoors. Yeah. But you are, right? It's a fact. Working from home, if you don't work out, then you're no friend to nobody, right? Because no one wants to talk to miserable people. Yeah. Come on. Why do people like you, Ray? Because you're always smiling.
Yeah. I'll tell you, call me in a week, see if I'm still smiling.
See if your wife is still smiling, man, and your kids.
I'm doing the dishes at least.
Well, at least you can multitask now, yeah? You can do the dishes and then take a call, right? Come on.
I think I'm a lot more productive on the road, I'll tell you that.
But that's why I left my wife, but that's another story. Yeah.
For the next podcast.
No, we're not getting into that. No, we're not doing
it. Let's talk about what else. What is hot? What's hot?
The next topic was future events. Yeah. On future events, face to face versus online. I mean, It's a difficult one. I think it, from where I'm sitting, it all depends on the technologies that are going to be implemented, right? Because, for example, you might have a temperature sensor on your iWatch, right? You might have a strap with a temperature sensor and then a fat sensor. I've seen that there's a fat sensor on there which does your BMI and all this stuff. So it's like, well, actually, if we can move forwards quite quickly with this sort of technology, potentially it could save the face-to-face events, because then it could, if we plug it in like the Chinese have done and say, well, or the people in Singapore, oh, well, this guy was over here and then he went over there and then he got this from so-and-so, and then they get to know who's given what to whom, right? So we can have an early warning. Oh, his temperature's up today. Maybe he's dehydrated. Okay, he's dehydrated. And we can manage these things quite nicely, but it's going to take time. And in that time period, we need to get people the content they want instead of giving them these ridiculously boring webinars. Yeah. That don't even mention the stress that people are going through. People are panicking. Yeah. They can't get any toilet rolls, man.
We're still out of toilet paper. I still don't understand what's going on with that. That doesn't make any sense at all.
It's just...
So we're still going to be super social. Humans are massively social, right? And I think that at live events, I mean, this happened to me in Las Vegas on Monday. Like, before I even got into the restaurant, the guy's like, here's some Purell. Wipe it down. The guy has like a heat scanner on my head. He's like,
wow.
Okay. right? This is Las Vegas. I'm like, oh, wow, right? So, you know, I mean, there's epitome of like live event technology. This was like a mom and pop restaurant that did that. So it must have trickled down everywhere, right?
Yeah.
We're doing this kind of stuff. So we're going to see a difference, right? But when you do go to live event, you're going to value it more, right? It's not like, oh, it's another event, whatever. You're just like, oh, wow, I'm glad there's a chance to meet people. So we'll get that again. But the virtual events, oh my God, I was on a really bad one yesterday. And I was just like,
another one.
Webinar.
I heard of loads yesterday that were bad.
Hopefully, webinar. It was horrible. But then I was on a really good one, which I'll call out, which is the Doma Palooza webinar. It was amazing. Oh. They launched out, you know, Josh James comes out, like, you know, the pre-canned video where they're all like 15 different video shoots, right? They've done all the places that they come in, right? Wow. But then the live moderator, right? The live moderator is putting it all together. They're doing it taped in the studio. There's no one in the audience, but just the two people in the studio. The camera teams are going, different pans. And then, you know, and then they bring in other people along the way, people on Zoom. It's almost like a live TV show. They figured out production. So a screen comes up, people get the image, right? Then they even had Q&A with Brady Bunch style, where people are going like, right? I mean, it's great. They're looking all over the place. And they did Q&A from Twitter, Q&A from the system. They asked the questions. You knew it was live. They even had an earthquake a few minutes before the show and the event, right? Like a physical earthquake happened in Salt Lake City. And you knew this was live because they were reacting to this, right? And the authenticity of that just kept you paying attention. You're like, oh, this is real, right? I'm not watching a canned video that I can fast forward. Like, why bother? Now, to the defense of the company that did the canned video, right? They were afraid
Wait a minute. Sorry to interrupt. What do you mean by canned? Do you mean recorded?
Pre-recorded and then put up to play like a YouTube video.
Really bad.
That was bad.
But right now, can't do that right now. You need to talk about
right
every day something new is happening. Look at how many people died in Italy yesterday. Yeah. Like it is ridiculous right now.
So in defense, like the canned video that they did it because they wanted to protect the production crew's safety. And so they couldn't go out and create a live event like these other folks did. Mm-hmm. Right. In the sense of like, this is a live filming, live screening, but the fact that it was a canned video and the teleprompter reading was just awful.
a bit like mine, really.
Oh, not yours. These guys were reading. I mean, they were reading poorly. Right. You know, and I was just like, oh my God, this is just horrible. Like, what are you guys thinking? Like, if you're going to do it, it's got to be natural. You got to make mistakes.
Yeah.
It can't be a perfect reading of like, you know, I don't know. The precision was just so bad that the authenticity was gone, right? And that was the problem, right? They were all worried about image instead of worried about authenticity.
Authenticity is key. It's absolutely key.
You can't have a brand without being authentic. Maybe they're authentic to their brand.
Well, maybe they don't have a clue. And the leadership of the comms department isn't there.
I talked to their CMO before they did that. I don't know what happened, but I think they were trying to do the live event. And their very, very conservative leadership probably wanted to make sure. And it wasn't their fault. That's what I'm saying. But it was awful. It was just awful. Their conservative leadership was like, oh, we can't endanger the production crew. We can't endanger this. I'm like, you could have a 6-person correction crew and still be okay. But nobody wanted the risk in the headline. So they were managed by PR and crisis as opposed to thinking about, do you guys want to do it? Are you willing to take the risk? And here's what we're going to do.
It's very
you don't
difficult.
Have to do it.
Yeah. It's very difficult.
It's a tough call. So it was awful. I don't blame them.
Yeah. I mean, right now, you know, I was involved with, I wasn't involved because it was in a different language, but I was involved with a webinar that went ahead. I think it was, it was today, this morning, over in France. And the influencer that I hired to do it turned around. I sent them a message on, what day are we today? We're Tuesday, Wednesday? No, we're Thursday, right? I sent them a message on Monday saying, look, guys, you need to cancel this. This is just ridiculous. You can't be putting out a recorded webinar that doesn't have the right information and the right kind of tone behind it. Yeah. I don't give a monkey's what you're selling. Yeah. But if you don't acknowledge the current state of people's brains right now with empathy, with sympathy, with compassion. Yeah. You don't deserve to create a good webinar. So I told them, I said, look, you can't put this on. The influencer said, you can't put this on. Yeah, this is a joke. Yeah, like this is the wrong time. People are preoccupied. Oh no, the agency said, oh, not my agency, I might add, it's a partner agency. Turned around and said, oh no, we're going to put it on. Yeah, because the client has decided that they want to put it on. Yeah. And oh. The client decided they were still going to do it. And unfortunately, it went wrong. I mean, there were 9 people who were on it. And it had a webinar crash of bandwidth in the middle. The recording didn't work. And you know, people were disappointed. Yeah. From however many registrations that they had, went down to 9 people who were watching it. No mention at all at the beginning of, oh, well, we realize it's very difficult right now for everyone. And we really appreciate none of that. Just a straight in, play the recording, yeah? I was deeply, deeply disappointed, actually. So from where I'm sitting, there needs to definitely be a live element involved. But yep. I think that content, if it is recorded, it really needs to either have a sandwich, beginning and end, yeah?
Yep.
A nice bit of recording in the middle. But I think it needs some very relevant content at the beginning. That's my personal take. And that goes for all of these future events, right? But yes, it's difficult, but you need to mitigate the risk, don't you? So you could perhaps have 2 hosts if you're running Zoom in different countries, yeah?
Yes.
Or 3.
Yes.
Or you
yes.
can, you know, it's about using the brain, yeah? Like, come on, guys, yeah?
You want to balance it out. You really have to balance it out.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the most important things. So, yeah. But yeah. And then what do we do next? Like, think about this. Like, we got live events. Live events are going to change. They're going to evolve. Right. And then the gig economy.
Yes. That's the next one.
What do you think?
Well, what's going to happen to it? I mean, I think that the people who are smart, yeah, are going to carry on growing their businesses very well. I think the gig economy is actually going to be performing extremely well right now. People's businesses, the weak ones, are going to be going out of business. The ones that cannot pivot very quickly and turn around and say, well, we don't need government aid. We've already just changed our business model like this. Yeah. They're the people that are smart. They're the people who are going to stay in business. Who are they going to hire? Right. They're going to basically keep their regular employees, and then they're going to hire the gig economy employees because there's no risk to them. If they shrink back down again, no problem. We've still got a business here. Yeah. So
there are going to be a lot of people available for the gig economy.
Yeah.
I think like after they've worked from home, like this long, like I'm not going back. Why do I want to deal with this commute? Or why do I want to deal with all this weird, you know, politics? Or why do I want
to
deal with the
travel,
fact that,
right?
Yeah. So
you don't need to travel.
Some gig economy. Travel.
You're the CEO, man.
some gig economy jobs do require you to travel because you do have to meet people. But the thing is that a lot of folks are going to realize that maybe we can make this work from home thing work, right? I know a lot of people might abuse the policies. People do worry about that. Sometimes you see that, right? But you call the herd in performance at the end of the day. Like if you don't deliver, you don't deliver. Right.
Well,
so
if you don't deliver, you don't deliver. Yeah.
There was an extreme. There was, I won't name the company, but at one point, like this company was so messed up that everybody was working from home, and just to schedule a meeting for everyone to meet, all the other priorities were more important than the company's priorities. And when you hit that balance, that's when you have to bring everyone back. Right. But it was the worst trying to meet with people. I'm like, well, you know, well, let's go meet at 10 in the morning. Oh no, I've got a dental appointment. Like, seriously? Like everybody had a dental appointment at like 10 in the morning. Like, come on. Like, you know, where's your priority? Right. I get you're working around work, but when people are working around personal schedules, that's when it goes too far. So we'll see swing pendulums that come back and forth.
Yeah. Well, it's priorities. Yeah. Like you say, it's totally priorities. But I think right now people are actually really struggling with changing their routines, because certainly in management, right now, they're getting a lot of people asking them all these questions. Yeah. And it's like, if that was me, I'd be like, look, here's the answer. And I would get my PA to send out a recorded video, saying, so many people asked me this question. I decided that since so many people asked me this question, I'd record this video, And then we just send them a video, Because we are wasting time on things that are not needed to be done, And yes, we have to have the feely-touchy thing going on and keep people happy, right? And take feedback and everything else. But if it's a stupid question, yeah, that you could answer yourself or you could ask someone else who's in a similar role to you within a business.
Please
yeah, stop
it.
Wasting my time and asking me stupid questions. Yeah, is my attitude.
That's what self-service chatbots are supposed to do.
Yes. Exactly. Well, build a chatbot. Send the video with the chatbot, right? Yeah, I mean, send them a link, yeah?
Annoy the chatbot. Don't call me. Try this link. No. But yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be very interesting. The next 30, 60 days will change people's habits. I'm not as draconian as people actually think, where there's going to be like, you know, this is going to change the world forever. No, I mean,
you're not.
Human habits are hard to break. But I think people are going to see alternatives that they might consider. And I think along that process, hopefully we become more happy with our lives. People become more productive in terms of achieving the goals that they want to achieve, as well as the company's goals. But more importantly, I hope people become kinder. They take some time to think. Right? People have been in this rat race for some time, whether it's a commute or getting to something, that they get a chance to see different perspectives. But we got to get past the fear first. And once we get past the fear, I think we'll be in a better position.
Yeah, very much so. Well, it's been an absolute joy to speak with you for so long. I really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, I'd love to do another interview. You can fit me in now. You're not traveling for 220 days.
Hey, there you go. We'll see what happens.
we'll see how we get on.
We'd love to do that.
Yeah.
Time zone's right, because we do a Disrupt TV show every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific time and 2 p.m. Eastern. And I think we're booked out to about April, May. But hey, we'd love to have you. So we'll get that figured out.
Oh, really?
It'll be fun. Yeah, we do it. Me and the co-founder, that's Bala Afshar. He's the chief digital evangelist at Salesforce. And, you know, we get that going every, we do three guests, 20-minute segments, and boom.
So. Super. Yeah, I'd love to do that. I could talk about all sorts of things. Yeah. And, you know, that would be super, actually very good. But,
all right. Well, everyone stay safe.
Yes.
We hope we get through this together.
Ray's gone there. Well, it's been absolutely lovely to interview him. And thanks so much to everyone for listening. Thanks for listening. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections too. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thank you.